So a husband and a wife interrupted their holiday to go to the dentist. "I need a tooth pulled, and don't use any lidocaine because we're in a big hurry," the woman said. "Just extract the tooth as quickly as possible and we'll be on our way." The dentist was impressed. "You're certainly a courageous woman," she said. "Which tooth is it?" "Show him your tooth, dear," the woman said to her husband. "I wish it didn't, but my life often feels like a blur, like I'm in a hurry all the time. When I get my diary wrong, which does happen sometimes, I find myself moving from one thing to another with barely time to sit still or sometimes even to eat. I don't know if you've ever had days like that." Paul's nodding away. "I think as a GP, certainly have days like that." Many retired people say they are busier than they ever were when they worked. Why? Because they've got lots more commitments. So they spend all their time driving from this to that to that to the other. There's plenty of nods, so I think that probably sounds familiar to many of you. Modern life, for all its conveniences and its machines, seems to get more hectic, seems to get more exhausting year after year. Is this really the best or the most abundant way to live? To be honest, some days it feels like I'm just trying to get to the end of my to-do list so I can have half an hour of peace and quiet at the end of the day before going to bed. That is no way to live. John Ortberg, who wrote the book that our series that we're going through at the moment is based on, the book is called The Life You've Always Wanted, he says that most of his life is spent in transit. What he means by that is moving from one thing to another, standing in line waiting for something to start, waiting for something to finish, trying to complete a task so you can move on to the next thing. He describes almost missing his daughter's joy at bath time. If you've got kids, I'm sure you know what joy bath time can be, if a little messy sometimes. His daughter was having a great time dancing around the bathroom, and he told her to stop because he wanted to dry her off and get her into bed so he could carry on with his evening. And he realised he was missing the joy that she was feeling. It's no way to live. Jesus did not die and rise again so we could be miserable. He didn't. That's not why. He died and rose again to show us that life and love are stronger than pain and death. His death and life show the truth. There's a Psalm 30 verse 5. It's a very important psalm to me. "Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning." That is the truth of that Jesus' resurrection expresses and shows and demonstrates to be true. In other words, we cannot escape pain and we cannot escape sadness. But they never have the last word in Jesus. The last word in Jesus is joy. God's plan for us is joy. Why? Because that's how he lives. Think about it. Our world has what I would describe as an endless monotony. Morning, evening, night. Morning, evening, night. Morning, evening, night. Now, according to scientists, the Earth is about 4.5 billion years old. That's 4.5 billion times 365 morning, evening, night. It's a bit boring, isn't it? It's a bit just relentless and it's boring, but not for God. Psalm 19 verse 5 describes the sun rising and setting day by day like this: like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. This is God's joy. In some ways we might think of God's joy as being a bit like a child's joy. What does a child say when they've done something that they've really enjoyed? Again! Yeah, again! I remember the Teletubbies. Again, 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 again. Remember that? They say again. Why? Because they enjoyed it and they want to do it again. If you've got young children, they watch the same films over and over and over again. My sister was obsessed with The Little Mermaid. I can't watch it to this day because of how much it was on. I think we wore out, it was back in the old days, so we had a video. So I think we wore the video out 2 or 3 times because she just wanted to watch it over and over. Why? Because she was so full of joy when she watched it. There's a deep lesson here in what it means to be full of joy. Sometimes joy will be elusive. Sometimes we have every reason not to be joyful. In our reading from Nehemiah this morning, God's people were coming back from exile. In verse 8, it says, Ezra and the other priests read from the book of the law, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. It must have been a powerful sermon because people wept as they listened. I don't normally reduce you all to tears. The people wept when they heard the law, the Bible, the Old Testament Bible being expounded. Why? Because they realized how much they had failed. They realized how great their sin was. And then Nehemiah said, he told them to put on a solemn face, go back to their homes to sit in silence and contemplate their misery. No? No, he didn't. What did he say? He said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks. This is verse 10. And send some for those who have nothing. This day is holy to our Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's what he said to them. Was their sin real? Yes. They had abandoned God. They'd lived faithless lives. They'd worshipped other gods. They'd been selfish. Did they have reason to be miserable? Yes. They were surrounded by their enemies. The wall that surrounded Jerusalem had been pulled down when Israel was taken into exile. And they were rebuilding it. But their enemies were surrounding them. And in fact, the danger was so real that the ones who had to carry the building materials, they had to carry the materials with one hand. Why? Because they had to hold a sword in the other one. Even the builders who were there, they had to use both hands for the building. They had to have their swords strapped to their side all the time because the danger was so real. Yes, they had reason to be miserable, but they had a choice. They could wallow in self-pity because of their situation, because of their sin, because of their danger, or they could rejoice. It says in verse 12, they chose to rejoice. Why did they choose to rejoice? Because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. The situation was the same. What changed was how they looked at it. And that made them stronger. Here's the truth I want you to remember. If you forget everything that I say this morning, this is what I want you to remember. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's what I want you to remember. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Why is it strength? Well, because when we taste the true joy that comes only from God, that comes from being satisfied and enjoying what we have, we'll be less tempted by what we don't have. We will be stronger and more able to resist temptation because we are satisfied. Satisfied in God. God created pleasure. The problem isn't that we like pleasure too much. The problem is that we settle for fleeting shadows and glimpses of pleasure, of the joy that comes in God. Forget what the world says about pleasure and joy. We need God's joy. Now, I don't know where it comes from, but when I write my sermons, at this point in my notes, I write 3 words usually. Yes, but how? Yes, that might be true, but how do we live it out? How is it going to make a difference to my life? How can we be full of joy? Well, remember that this series, it's called The Life You've Always Wanted. Remember what I said when I introduced the series? If I was asked to run a marathon tomorrow, I could try, and I could try really hard, but I would fail. Why? Because I haven't done any training. Following Jesus is not about trying, it is about training. It is about training. So how can we train ourselves to be full of God's joy? Four words. Deliberately celebrate together today. Deliberately celebrate together today. So deliberately, my mentor once asked me, Ben, he said, do you ever taste your food? Because how do I eat? Why do I eat like that? So I can carry on with my day and get more done. Do you ever taste your food, he said. Do you ever make yourself stop and deliberately look for and notice the good in the supposedly trivial stuff that is around you? Do you? Maybe you do. Maybe you're too busy driving past them all. Do we take time deliberately to enjoy things? Little things, the everyday things. Remember the joy that God takes in the rising and setting of the sun that's happened 1.2 trillion times since the earth was made, if my maths is correct. Quickly. I'll check that later. Deliberately celebrate. The Old Testament is full of celebration. Why? Because they had regular festivals or holy days or holidays, as we call them. In fact, just after this happened in Nehemiah chapter 8, they had one of them, the Festival of Tents or Tabernacles, where they all put up temporary shelters to remind themselves of how they lived in the wilderness for 40 years. And they celebrated the way God had faithfully brought them through the wilderness. Nehemiah tells the people, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks. Burgers and Coke. Not sure whether you describe a burger as choice food. What are the special things that you love to eat? The special things that you love to do? The special things that you love to drink? What are they? I don't know. They'll be different for all of us, I suspect. Some of them might be the same. There's nothing wrong with them, and we should spend time enjoying and celebrating with one proviso. As long as we do it with gratitude rather than greed. These things were created by God for us to enjoy, but they can very easily become what's most important in our lives. Which is why gratitude is so important. It's why saying grace before dinner is so important, because it reminds us where the food came from. It didn't come from your pension, it didn't come from your work, it didn't come from Sainsbury's, Asda, Morrison's, Aldi, Lidl, whatever. It came from God. And so we say thank you to him before we eat. Gratitude, not greed. So we celebrate, we deliberately celebrate together. Who are the people who bring you joy? When you're with them, you just smile. Who are those people in your life? I hope you have some. Spend time with them. Enjoy their company. Learn what it looks like and how to be full of joy. One of my friends, we can talk for hours just making each other laugh. I mean, he's one of the few people who can make me cry with laughter. We're seeing them next weekend. It's going to be great. God made us not to be alone, but to celebrate together. Now, of course, we all know people who in my family we call fun sponges. We all know people who just sort of suck the fun out of a room. Don't be a fun sponge. Fun sponges deserve our love. We can't just cut them off. But we need to make sure that we don't become like that. And if you sense fun sponge tendencies in yourself, you need to do something about that. We need to make sure that together we have life and joy. So, deliberately celebrate together. When?
Today!
Now, some people are stuck in the past. They have these rose-coloured spectacles that they look back on the olden days where everything was fantastic and brilliant and the vicar was better and there were more people in the church. And, you know, now that might be true, but that was then. Some people look to the future and they think, well, if only we could do this, or when that happens, then I'll be happy. I'm like that one. I'm always looking to the future. But with either of those, it is impossible to be satisfied. Just won't happen. Doesn't matter how much you get, doesn't matter how much you look back, you'll never be satisfied. Because God's joy happens today. Now. Here. God is behind us, and God is before us, but his joy is found here and now. What did Nehemiah say to them? He didn't say tomorrow is holy to the Lord. He didn't say yesterday was holy to the Lord. He said this day is holy to the Lord. This day. The psalmist says it like this. Let us rejoice today and be glad. The old song, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. In it, today. If you don't find joy today, you'll never find it, ever. You'll constantly be looking. See, joy is not about seeking after things we don't have. It is deliberately choosing to enjoy and be satisfied with what God has given us. Celebrating the things we love with one another today and every day. My little definition of joy for us today: contentment with gratitude. Contentment with gratitude. That is joy. And that is the life that God is calling us to. One day God will wipe away every tear. There'll be no more pain, there'll be no more death, and all will be joy. So I don't know what you're going through at the moment. It may be you feel yourself a long way from joy. We all go through times like that. Sometimes, like the psalmist said, they last for a night. Sometimes they last a lot longer. But I would love to encourage all of us to look for the joy, even in little things, the daily things. Learn to find and see things as God sees them. And you'll learn to take joy in them. Be content with what you have, not with what you don't have, and you will find joy. And that's important because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Let's try that again. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And again, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen.